We of course met at the ARC conference, and very interesting it was too. And you were telling me about it relates, of course, to demography. You were telling me about the trilemma, and this seems to be the central problem that we have to. You were arguing that we have to confront as developed peoples the trilemma. So could you tell us a bit about what is this trilemma and why is it so important?
Well, I developed the trilemma in my second book, sorry, in my third book, Tomorrow's People, from a purely kind of literary point of view. I wrote about it. And then what I've done for ARC with the economist Philip Pilkington is actually model it. So rather than just a concept, we've actually looked at the numbers. So let me start with the concept and then I'll talk about the numbers. The concept is that you can have two out of three of what I call the three E's. Now, you should see these three E's as shorthand, really. They're egotism, ethnic continuity, and economic buoyancy. By egotism, I mean, and it may not be the best word, but it's handy for the three E's. I don't mean to be judgmental, but egotism means pursuing your own interests and not having families. So small family sizes or no families at all, that's the egoism. Or you can have ethnic continuity, which is shorthand for no mass immigration. And as I pointed out, we have more immigration every year into this country, and have had for the last 20 years, than we had from the period from probably the Anglo-Saxons, certainly the Norman conquests until the Second World War. So more in every year than in that 1500 roughly or 1000 year period. So that is the ethnic continuity stroke lack of mass immigration, and then economic buoyancy, some opportunity to have economic growth, which depends on a dependency ratio, meaning you don't have lots and lots of old people for relative to your workforce. So to unpack that, I give the example of three countries that have effectively chosen two of those things and sacrificed one. So Japan does have some immigration, but it's very low. A foreign population of Japan is extremely small. So they have chosen ethnic continuity. They have also chosen egotism in the sense that they have had very small families, not record-breaking at this stage. There are other countries that are lower, but very low fertility rates, very small numbers of children per woman since the early 70s. And therefore, by choosing those two E's, they have sacrificed economic dynamism. I'm old enough to remember when Japan was the land of the rising sun. We all thought it was the future of the world economy. It was notionally thought that the grounds of the palace in Tokyo were worth more than the whole of the state of California, et cetera, et cetera. After 1989, the workforce began to shrink. And since then, economic growth has been very slow. Relative to the US, Japan has had a shrinking economy. It's been a shrinking economy relative to the global economy, too. It's no longer the power it once was economically. It has a debt to government debt to GDP ratio twice ours, and it's a real problem when you get an aging population that you need lots of spend lots on pensions, lots on healthcare, and you have fewer workers.
Yeah. So what does this result in? So this is a strategy obviously we're not adopting in the West.
Yes.
There are some people that would say we should adopt it. What would it lead to long term?
The problem is that Japan is only at the start of a process whereby its population is going to shrink enormously. On the way up at 100 million in the 60s, it had roughly 5 to 6 workers per old person over 65. When it's on the way down in the 2030s or 2040s and reaches 100 million, it will be less than 1 for 1. So lack of workers, economic shrinkage, and what the Japanese prime minister calls civilizational collapse. So that's what happens when you choose egotism and ethnic continuity. You have a poor economic outcome. Life is still good for Japanese people. Per capita GDP is okay, but they've stored up terrible problems. You can already see that in the 250% debt to GDP ratio. So that's kind of one choice. The second choice is what we in Britain and many other Western countries have chosen, which is we also have had small family sizes since the early 70s, below replacement fertility, not as low as Japan, but low enough and falling very fast now. And we have wanted to keep the lights on effectively. Our economic growth hasn't been stellar, but we have continued having economic growth. We haven't suffered the labour shortages yet that Japan suffers. And that is only achievable by mass immigration, as I said, more immigration every year into the British Isles than arrived in the whole period from the Anglo-Saxons to Winston Churchill. So that's sort of option number two, whereby you have your egotism and you have your economic buoyancy of sorts, at least you keep the lights on, but you have massive ethnic change through mass immigration. And then the third option, which only Israel in the developed world has taken, is to have a reasonable level of fertility. I mean, the Israeli level of fertility is three. It's not like Chad at six, but it's more than a whole child more than any other developed country. And as a result, for all the other problems Israel has, which really are another subject and you know, is topic of perhaps another conversation. But whatever else one thinks of Israel, however else one judges it, the fact is that they have a formula, and we can unpack what that means, to have a reasonable replacement and above replacement level of fertility. And that in turn means that they have both had a very buoyant economy, and at the same time, they have not needed, and they've historically had mass Jewish immigration, which has created the society, but they don't need mass immigration anymore. And they certainly don't need mass immigration of different ethnicities and to change the basically 80-20% Jewish percentage of the population, because they can keep the lights on, keep the economy going, and don't need that mass immigration because they are having more than two children, actually three. So that's the idea of the trilemma. What we did by modelling it, or what Philip Pilkington did modelling it, is say, OK, let's take Britain as an example. Take the British data. If we carry on the British model, what level of immigration will we need? And in a nutshell, that says by 2080, at current, if our fertility rate continues to shrink gradually towards the South Korean level, which I think is very likely if you look at the values of Generation Z, then half the population will be first generation immigrants. Forget the issue of integration. I mean, I am myself the child of immigrant parents, so I do believe you can integrate, but regardless of that, half the population or more will be overseas born. And if Britain were to choose the Japanese model, which is essentially
by when would half population be overseas
2080
born? 2080,
and it's a bit lower than that if we keep our current fertility rate, but I it's currently on a downward trajectory now. And obviously, second generation will be very high percentage. And the thing goes on and on, because old immigrants adopt low fertility of the surrounding society. They get old. And so effectively, by not having enough people, but trying to keep your dependency ratio decent, you just ship in more and more people.
So the native British population, i.e. the descendants of those that were here at the time of Winston Churchill, would be well below half then, wouldn't it?
Far below half. And if you looked at the schools or the early 20s, it would be lower again. So effectively, it would be a dwindling. I mean, white British is a category in the census and it's self-identifying. So it's not entirely crystal clear, and identifications shift over time. So, for example, I identified on the census as white British, and my wife, whose family have been here, some of them since the end of the 17th century, identified as white other. So there are kind of issues about how you identify. But essentially, the native population, the indigenous population of these islands would become an increasingly irrelevant, shrinking share of the population if Britain sort of carries on the British route. If it goes the Japanese route and it says, right, no immigration, or very heavily clamps down on immigration, then you end up with a dependency ratio, again, by about 2080, of about 2 to 1. Today, we're about 3 to 1. So that means two workers for every retiree. Now, you can move around the retirement date. First of all, Macron and Putin have found that very difficult to do, two quite successful politicians. But even if you do it, it's kind of moving the deck chairs. It's sort of changing. It's very minor compared to the problem you have when you have lots of old people needing care, relatively few taxpayers, a very, very large pension bill, and a large spend on the health service. And one of the reasons we see that the health service gets more and more money, but gets worse and worse, is you actually need a much higher spend on an 80-year-old than on a 20-year-old. So as the population ages, the state grows and grows, government debt, either the tax burden becomes insufferable or government debt grows and grows. And, you know, economists can comment on how sustainable that is. So that's kind of disastrous option number two. And then the only way to avoid that is to say, okay, we need to get our fertility rate up to 2 to 3. That should not, that's what it was in Britain in the 60s. That's at the top end of that range is what Israel manages to achieve. No one expected the post-war baby boom. So fertility rates can recover even in developed countries. And we need to step back as a country and say, if we don't either want to become more and more a country which is a collection of people from all over the world, which some people may be very comfortable with. I'm not making value judgments here. And if we don't want to get ever more indebted and ever more aging and dysfunctional as a society, and I really don't think that's an option, then we simply have to get our fertility rate up. Now, you can get into discussions of how we do that. But the first step, I think, is to acknowledge the trilemma, to make our choice and then say, OK, if that's what we want as a society, if we want 2 to 3 children per woman, obviously that's a matter of choice. Nobody's going to force anyone to do anything. But if that is what we aspire to as a country, what does our family policy look like? What does our education look like? What does our culture need to look like? And that's just, you know, we're at the start of that debate, but it would and too late, I think, or too later than it should be. But that is the conversation we should be having if we understand the trilemma.
Now, if you've been following events at the Jolly Heretic Public House, you may have noticed that things have been changing in the nature and the quality of the videos. And that's because certain things have been changing behind the scenes. Certain interesting people have been becoming interested in what's going on. And so, yeah, there's change afoot. And in that regard, we have some very exciting events coming up. Now, we already had a very exciting event in London in October. And there was 90 people that turned up from all walks of life who had We had fantastic fun. They learned about life behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic Public House and what's going on and what's changing. And I got to meet people and chat with people and have a beer and it was and talk about the Neo-Byzantium, the idea that we are going to be the holdouts of civilization, are going to find a way to keep civilization going and keep something preserved against all the chaos. And so that went very, very well. And so we thought, what about people that live in the north of the country? What about people that live in the north of the country? And so in that regard, I'm very pleased to announce that there's going to be another in-person event. This is going to be in Liverpool on the 16th of December. And that will be for those that, of course, missed out on the London event. And again, it will be a chance to look behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic to find out what's going on, to meet like-minded, naughty, heretical people. And, of course, to learn about the Neo-Byzantium that we're trying to build. And then the night before that, there will be another exciting event. And that will be in London. And this will be a Christmas dinner with the night before with me and some very select people. Some very select people, many of whom you will have heard of and you'll be rather interested to meet. And so this will be a chance to sort of talk about these things at a deeper level and to have a to celebrate Christmas, albeit a bit early, and to really have a great deal of fun and to imbibe and whatever, but also to talk about what's going on and talk about the future of civilization. So I would be most grateful if as many of you as possible would like to come to either of these events. And I look forward to seeing you there. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to chatting with you, getting to know you. And the links are in the description. Are you ready for the future of the West?